The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Good morning, everyone. If there's one thing you take away from the service, from the sermon, let it be these four words. Set free to serve. That's the entire sermon in a nutshell. Set free to serve. Every one of you this morning has been set free to serve. Let me just find the clicker. And oh yeah, okay. Later this week, there's an event of national importance. Well, at least to Queensland and New South Wales it is. And it'd be interesting to find out where our allegiances lie this morning. It's all right, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, or even better still, come and stand up in front. No. But let me show you something. Okay. Yes. Pretty clear what my allegiance is. Or is it? I was even happy to put it on and take it off. When it comes to sports, we can readily identify with our team, our tribe, our country. I only brought one lot of livery along this morning. But let's get back to the more specific aspect. We're in a series, and this morning, we conclude with Jesus and his disciples and the conversation that he had. We've already read Matthew 20:20, but I just want to actually zero in, like a magnifying glass, on the last four verses. Matthew 20:25-28. Now, I'm using a more modern translation. This one's the Passion. Kings and those with great authority in this world rule oppressively over their subjects. They are like tyrants. Pretty powerful words. But this is not your calling. You will lead by a completely different model. Anyone aspiring to leadership, you will lead by a completely different model. The greatest one among you will live as the one who is called to serve others. So this morning, as part of the family of God, we are called to serve others. Because the greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one with the heart of a servant. Even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone. Have you thought about that? God incarnate comes to this earth, the King of all glory. Did not come expecting to be served, but to serve. And to give his life in exchange for the salvation of many. I want us to actually think of four things this morning from those verses. I want us to consider first and foremost that different kingdoms have different values. Kingdom of God has different values and therefore behaviors to the kingdoms of this earth. Second thing is radical servanthood. We'll get into that a little bit later. And then servant-hearted. I wonder what happened then. Did I do that? Servant-hearted. And Jesus expressing and showing compassion. The compassion that I see in those four verses is that the disciples had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They had the most intensive Bible college 3-year practicum you can come across. Yet they still didn't understand the fundamental differences between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. How would you be if you were the teacher? For 3 years you'd lived, you'd shown every aspect, and yet your star students just didn't get it. Frustrated? We know that the disciples were frustrated because it wasn't going the way they anticipated, they expected. Yet Jesus, in compassion, explains to them yet another time. Have you ever thought about what the kingdom of heaven's values are and listed them against the kingdoms of this earth? Men in high places, authority, like to have a great reputation. Just think about a few people. And yet Jesus comes to the earth and it says that he made himself of no reputation. Leaders that we look at in the world again today like to lead, to command authority. They don't like anybody to object. Yet Jesus said, I've come to serve. We need you to obey. Again, take the best place at the top table. Remember the parable Jesus told? He says, and then the master of ceremonies comes along and kicks you out, down to the bottom table. He said, it's far better for you if you would take the lowest place at the bottom table. Then what honor there is when the MC comes along, takes you by the arm. He says, come, you're seated with the king. Today's leaders like to lord it over their subjects. Yet we're called to serve those of no importance. Whoever gives a drink of water to the least of these, no importance. Today's leaders love to be visually important. Please get the cameras on this side, not that side. We all know what we're talking about. Yet Jesus said, privately, care for the disadvantaged. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Today's leaders love to order people to come. I'm that important that you come to me. Jesus said, go. Go to the people. Go and spread the good news. Willingly go. Why are these things so totally different? And I was drawn back to when the nation of Israel decided they wanted to come out from under the lordship of God. and to become like the other nations around them and be judged by a king. We find it in 1 Samuel 8. All the leaders get together because there have been a few problems with Samuel's sons. And they say, make a king to judge us like all the nations. Samuel goes before God. He says, look what's happening. God says, they're not judging you. They're not turning their backs on you. They are rejecting me. A nation is in the throes of rejecting God. Samuel comes back after this conversation with God and he says, you know that a king is going to take the very best of your property. He's going to press gang your people, especially the youth, the strong. He's going to tax you on top of the tithe and the finances already being taken. And he's going to lord it over you. In fact, Samuel actually says, ye shall be his servants. King James. Imagine you're part of the nation of Israel and you're making this decision to move from freedom in God into bondage under a king which is man-made. It's like you're standing at attention and the command comes out to about face. 180-degree turn in your values and therefore your behaviors. No wonder the disciples just couldn't understand the significant difference in the kingdom of God versus all of the kingdoms around them and all of the examples of leaders and of people of authority. They didn't serve. Yet Jesus came to serve. Here's one of the keys. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. God is spirit. And he wants us to live in the spirit realm. Not just the area of flesh and blood. Old Testament, a little bit of a clearer understanding of the significance is that for my thoughts, says God, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts than yours. Poles apart. Because we've gone and inverted the values and therefore the behaviors that God originally planned. Just before there's a riot in, I think it was Athens. Got it wrong. The accusers of Paul and the other missionaries with him say they've gone and turned this world upside down. I look at that now and I think they've reverted. They've turned the world back the right way. Living for Jesus, we live the right way and the world around about us is upside down. Need to catch up with my notes. get back to the State of Origin paraphernalia around me. It's easy for us to identify with sports codes. You get out whatever livery it is, whatever code it is, whatever team it is, and you can put it on. You find your tribe. You find your team. You find your country folk. I was threatening two of the granddaughters that they could wear Wallabies and Springboks colours, because they just happen to be teams I also support. I wonder, though, how do we recognise fellow Christians? Or how does the world round about us recognise us? Anyone got an idea? Can people recognize a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? It used to be common practice a few years back that we would talk about the way in which we were sojourners. So we didn't actually belong here. We were here temporarily as ambassadors for our country, for our king. Sometimes I think we become far too comfortable here. Yes, I know that God says, occupy till he come. I wonder if there's some way that we can actually be identified as Christians. In the Old Testament, there's this little portion of scripture about a really unusual practice, which really is quite foreign to us today. Exodus chapter 21, verse 6. It talks about how a Hebrew can be indentured or a slave to another Hebrew. And that the maximum period of time that this can happen for is 6 years. And he is then to be let free. His debt is paid. He's allowed to go free. However, if the slave who is now free wants to stay in bondage as a slave, a bond slave, he can actually declare that. And it then says that his owner, his master, needs to take an awl. That's what that photograph there is. That's rather nice, clean, and 21st century. But take an awl and to take it and push it through the earlobe. Those of you with pierced ears, to push it through the earlobe and drive it into the tree, into the timber. Mine ear is bored to the tree. Wherever that slave then went for the rest of their lives, you could tell that he was a bond slave, identified clearly. Let me propose that radical servanthood is the mark of a citizen of heaven. Galatians 5:13, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. A life of freedom in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. In other words, don't take this freedom that God has provided to be a license for you to just do whatever you like. It goes further. It says, freedom means that we become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all that we do. That gets back to set free for service. Set free from self-indulgence for service to others. Set free from what's in it for me, for how can I love them? How can I serve them? I'm not going to go through an exhaustive list about the ways in which you can minister to one another or we can minister to one another in this church. Pastor Andrew actually took us through a very good, solid list in the previous series when we were talking about faith runs deep. No need to duplicate them, or at least not yet. Instead, I'd like us to look at what radical servanthood could mean. The first thing I want to actually take is from Rangeville's Community Church value statement. Three specific values. It says that we are given to generosity of everything that's at our hand. Time, talents, resources, our lives. Second aspect is that we do endeavour to be a safe, respectful and hospitable community. And I want to just give a little bit of some pictures in some of these things. Finally, the intergenerational family who grow and empower servant-hearted disciples. Normally, if you get empowered, you also get sent. Just a little bit of caution there. A sent servant. The top right-hand corner is water. I thought I had this sermon pretty well finalized until Saturday. You had that feeling. I walked out around the corner of the street and God was like, this is what you really need to talk about. The price of water. The scripture in Matthew says, if you give a drink of water to the least of these, one of these children, it won't be forgotten about. And in today's world, we think about a glass of water. Gee, that's easy. Costs us nothing, yet God won't forget about it. In the Old Testament, the cost of water was incredible. Abraham, coming towards the end of his life, sent his servant, Eliezer, to go and organize a wife for his son. Eliezer knew about the importance of the mission. He'd grown up in Abraham's service. He knew about the promises that God had given. In fact, Eliezer's name means God my help. Travels all this way across back to the family home that used to be. And he asks God for help to direct him to the right lady. Let's not waste time, God. This young woman comes out to the well. He asks for a drink and she happily draws water out of the well to give him a drink. But then her generosity is such that she ends up watering all the camels. And we find from the scripture there were 12 camels. Now, I don't know camels and I don't know how much they drink, but I'm told that they drink enormous quantities because they don't have to drink that often. Do you begin to see something about the generosity, the costliness of what she was doing? I then found my mind going to another Old Testament example where David is holed up just outside of Bethlehem. The Philistines are at war with them and the Philistines have taken over and occupied Bethlehem. David is their leader, king of the Israelites. Makes an inopportune statement. Leaders, sometimes followers love you far too much. He says, oh, how I would love to have a drink of the cool waters of the well in Bethlehem. And his three mighty warriors, the top three in the list of 30, go down to Bethlehem. They break through the lines of the Philistines. Now that's talking about fighting, and it's obviously hopelessly outnumbered. It says that they broke through the lines of the Philistines. They drew of the water and they brought it back to David. I don't know how you'd feel if you were the king or the leader, if you were David. But David said that he could not drink of that water. It was that costly that it could have been the lives of his mighty men. And we read how that he sacrifices the water by pouring it out as an offering to God. John 15 verse 13 says that that Jesus made himself of no reputation, and he gave service unto death for us. We are set free to serve and to live radically for Jesus. I want to look at servant-hearted for a while. Just got to watch the time. My apologies. Ethan and Jazz, grandson, granddaughter, came to visit Penny and I. We had dinner one night a few weeks ago. Part of the conversation was about advertising and marketing and so on, and hence the reason why the little picture in the top side there, chocolate. We were talking about Cadbury and the advert where the little girl is walking along the street with her mum. Mum gets a phone call, distracted. The little girl takes the opportunity to go into a corner store and proceeds to purchase a bar of chocolate. And we see her emptying out her little purse, her treasure box, her all of her valuable bits and pieces, trinkets, buttons. And in there also is a little unicorn thing. But she ends up having to take absolutely everything. She gives it to the storekeeper, who actually takes all of it, gives her the bar of chocolate, and then gives her back the unicorn, saying, "Your change." Little girl, very happily satisfied, goes out, gives the bar of chocolate to Mum, who's just got off the phone, and says, "Happy birthday, Mum." There's a final shot, which I don't know how many of us have seen or taken note of. It's actually the face of the storekeeper. How many of you have seen the radiant, exuberant joyfulness that springs up in this man's face? I can't help but wonder if that's just a little insight into God's exuberant happiness when we give everything to Him for His Son. You see, God always addresses our heart, not really our activity, not really our service, but what's going on in here. It's all really about relationship with God. We were created to be in relationship with Him. So it's not what we give by way of service, but what we hold back as mine. If you're feeling uncomfortable or beginning to squirm at this thought, I'm with you. I'm speaking to myself as well on this. The other thing that I really began to think about was, how many of us get weary in doing good? The scripture says, don't become weary in doing good. It's very easy to actually say, don't do this or do this. But where do you get the motivation? Where do you get the energy from? And it says that Jesus, seeing the multitude, was moved by compassion. For those of you who may not know, compassion's far more than empathy. Compassion is like feeling it in yourself as you see what's going on. And Jesus ministered to every single one of them. It upset the disciples quite a few times that they really wanted them to go. Yeah. Send them away. Will we hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Let me summarize. Three main points. The world constantly reinforces world kingdom values and therefore behaviors. We need to really feed ourselves to offset this input with God's kingdom values. Be very specific and deliberate in setting out on the behaviors that will nurture, will protect, and will enhance our servant hearts. We are called to live kingdom of God values through radical, sacrificial servanthood. That may change the way we look at what we do. We may realize that some of what we've been doing is just kind of like normal. And a servant heart, if you're a disciple of Jesus, let your motivation be his love, therefore your love. And let your heart be open before God. Nothing hidden, nothing held back. Psalm 10 and verse 3 says, "Offer ourselves as a freewill offering." 1 Corinthians 6 says that you're no longer your own in any case. You've been bought with a price, and we are no longer our own. Jesus has paid the price so that we can be free to serve. Do we need a piercing in the ear so that people can see that we're followers of Jesus? Or does our servant heart clearly manifest itself in our daily activity and in our walk and our lives, those round about us? I want to leave you with that thought.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746361144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.